That's what made us the greatest nation this world has known. We must resurrect that spirit to preserve liberty for ourselves and our posterity. This is Revolution's Revival. And now, your host, the cigar-smoking, politically incorrect patriot of the hour, Caleb Shoemate.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Revolution's Revival. But before we get into today's content, I would like to apologize to my listeners and specifically my subscribers for not uploading any content last week. I did have some technical difficulties last week in between trying to upload the episode with Kenny Cody, the Newsmax author, the episode in which he and I discussed cancel culture and his article about Dr. Seuss and how the cancel culture was going after Dr. Seuss and the implications of that. If you haven't checked out that episode, please be sure to do so. It's available on both Podbean and YouTube right now. So you can subscribe to me on either YouTube or subscribe to me here on Podbean. I would prefer that. But either place you can find that content. But I did want to apologize to you guys for not uploading any content last week. I will try to be more consistent with that because you guys are very important to me and I value every single one of you and I love making content for you guys. I wanted to thank you all for giving me an audience and giving my voice consideration on these issues. But without any further ado, let's get into today's content. Unfortunately, this is content that I wish I didn't have to discuss. Every time there's a shooting, it breaks my heart. You know, I hate to see innocent people die. I hate to see anybody die, if I'm being completely honest, but especially when it's the blood of the innocent. And last week in Georgia, there was a shooting in which 8 people died, 6 of which were Asian, and you've seen all kinds of outpouring on social media with the hashtag #StopAsianHate. And you'd think, listening to the mainstream media, that this crime was racially motivated. Now, I'm not going to say that it was or it wasn't. I'm not making excuses for the shooter in any facet. I believe this man was a very sick man. I won't even mention his name. You can look it up if you'd like. I will drop details to the news story in the description of this episode if you'd like to read more about it. If you haven't already, I'm sure you have. But 8 people died, 6 of which were Asian, and he claimed that the reason he wanted to do this was because he was struggling from a sex addiction and he was taking out what he believed was the source of his sex addiction. So obviously this man was a very, very sick man any way you slice it or dice it. I'm not making excuses again for his actions. I'm not justifying the death of these innocent people because it's never justifiable. But any way you slice it, any way you dice it, he was sick. And I pray for the families of these victims. I am heartbroken over the loss of these 8 innocent lives. But if you listen to the narrative that the mainstream media wants to push, they would have you believe that these hate crimes, as they're calling them, as they're sure that they're hate crimes, because 6 Asian people died, they would have you believe that Trump's language leading up to what we're dealing with now with the pandemic, but Trump's language and the way that Trump handled this pandemic caused this shooting. His language calling it the Chinese virus, they believe, if you listen to the mainstream media, that Trump's language and his actions were responsible for this hate crime and the rise in hate crimes against Asians. Now, I don't buy that. Even if this was a hate crime, I think that that's complete bullshit. And I think that they're blaming something on a former president that he has nothing to do with. When we look at pandemics in the past. Let's take the Spanish flu, for example. That was a pandemic that affected the whole world in the early 1900s. And we called it the Spanish flu because that's where it originated. Now, is that racist? Is that nationalistic? No, it's just that's where it originated. And calling it the Chinese flu or the Chinese virus in reference to COVID is not racist, because China, number one, is a country. It's not a group of a whole ethnic group, which you would say the Asian flu if you wanted to say that. But given that this virus started in China, which is the geographical location where it originated, it's not racist. That's just stating a fact. So trying to blame President Trump and his language for this horrible, horrific shooting that should have never have happened is utterly disgusting. And I really have a hard time, ladies and gentlemen, I have a very hard time believing that these white liberals suddenly care. I don't even want to call them liberals. These white progressives suddenly care about the deaths of six Asian people when they've labeled the whole ethnic group as being the same as white when we talk in regards to oppression and keeping other people of color down. Last time I checked, ladies and gentlemen, Asians weren't white. But when we talk about things like affirmative action, for example, Asians statistically score higher on all the test scores for the entrance exams than any other ethnic group. And I do think that there are some cultural things involved with that. If you don't believe me, you can look it up. I'll post an article in the description about how affirmative action specifically affects Asian people in a negative way. And it fascinates me that every time you bring something like that up to a progressive, they always want to shift. Well, it doesn't matter because they're not black. You know, they won't come out and say that, but that's what they're insinuating. And that's not to try to say anything negative about anybody else. But what about discrimination? What about systemic racism? Affirmative action, my friends, is an example of systemic racism. But if you listen to the mainstream media and you listen to the late night comics and people of those caliber, they would have you believe, as I said earlier, that Trump is to blame for this, that conservatives are to blame for this, that conservatives, of which I am not one, by the way, I'm a libertarian, but they would have you believe that Trump's language, and Republicans in particular, are responsible for this hate crime. I want you to listen to a segment from Trevor Noah on the Late Night Show, and I want to get into what he says about it, and then I want to play you some audio from Malcolm X.
Say, oh, it wasn't racism, it was sex addiction. First of all, f*** you, man. You killed six Asian people. Specifically, you went there. If there's anyone who's racist, it's a motherfucker who kills six Asian women. Your murders speak louder than your words. Six Asian women were killed. And you know, in a way, what makes it even more painful is that we saw it coming. We see these things happening. People have been warning. People in the Asian community have been tweeting. They've been saying, please, help us. We're getting punched in the streets. We're getting slurs written on our doors. We're getting people coming up to us saying, thanks for COVID. Thanks for spoiling the world. Thanks. We've seen this happening. And while we're fighting for it, there are many people who've been like, oh, stop being so woke and so dramatic. Kung flu, come on. Ha, 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 ha. It's just a joke. Yeah, it's a joke that has come at one of the most tense times in human history. You knew that something like this could happen. If you just apply your mind, you know that it's going to happen. This guy didn't go and kill these women by mistake. It wasn't a, it's like he knew what he was doing. And it's so frustrating to see this keep happening in America over and over again. America sees things coming. It knows something is going to happen, but it does nothing to stop it. But then it's all in on saying, oh, so tragic. Oh, so tragic. Who could have predicted this tragedy? Anyone who was looking at it could. Why are people so invested in solving the symptoms instead of the cause? America does this time and time again. A country that wants to fight the symptoms and not the underlying conditions that cause those symptoms to take effect. Racism, misogyny, gun violence, mental illness, and honestly, this incident might have been all of those things combined. Because it doesn't have to be one thing on its own. America is a rich tapestry of mass shooting motivations. But whatever you do, please don't tell me that this thing had nothing to do with race. Even if the shooter says that, he thinks it had to do with his sex addiction. You can't disconnect this violence from the racial stereotypes that people attach to Asian women. This guy blamed a specific race of people for his problems and then murdered them because of it. If that's not racism, then the word has no meaning. And as if the violence, as if the trauma isn't enough, the part that breaks my brain, and I think so many people get affected by this as well, because it feels like you're crazy when you're watching it, is when you see the police officer come out and almost trying to humanize the shooter more than the people who got shot. He was at the end of his rope. It was a bad day for him. For him? Yo, yesterday was a bad day for him? No, yesterday was a bad day for the people who lost their lives. It's a bad day for... It's always interesting who police try and find the humanity in. Like, I can guarantee you, if a black person or brown person went on a mass killing spree in a white neighborhood, not a f*** would a police officer go on TV and say, well, he was kind of at the end of his rope and this is what he did. They barely have patience for black protesters who are not killing anybody. And the frustrating thing is that it did not have to happen. It does not have to happen. From the top to the bottom, the politicians who are going to cry now and say, oh, we're so sorry. Yeah, but when it's happening, when politicians are out there saying Kung Flu and all of these, what are we doing then? We can all do something to try and fight against this. We can't stop every evil person. Please, I'm not saying that. You know, someone's going to be like, oh, there's always going to be evil. Yeah, but you know what we can try and do is create an environment where we're not letting specific people be targeted because of the color of their skin. In this instance, find an anti-hate organization. Try and work with them. Reach out to people who need support. Donate your money, donate your time, whatever you can, but do something. And most importantly, let's try f***ing pay attention so that it doesn't happen again. Because the truth is, we could see this coming.
Notice how Mr. Noah, when he was talking about the police, he said that the police would make excuses if it was a black or a brown person that went and shot up a white neighborhood. Now, anyone who knows me knows that I am no fan of police. Matter of fact, I wouldn't say that I'm anti-cop by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm certainly not pro-cop. I am very skeptical of police, and I think that every American should be, because of their position in society. I have long said that if tyranny comes to America, it will be the police and it will be the military who carry out that tyranny on the people. But I find it interesting that Mr. Noah, he wants to divide up the races in this segment and say that we treat people of different ethnic groups differently, when that flips the justice system on its head. Now, I'm not saying there aren't certain instances where different ethnic groups aren't treated unfairly. Of course there are. But in this country, we do believe in due process. We believe in innocent until proven guilty. Now, I don't know that it was racially motivated. As I said before, there has been no evidence that it was. Six Asian people died. But there were also two other people that weren't Asian at all that died. Now, if it was racially motivated, wouldn't he have tried to go take out 8 Asian people instead of just 6? And I hate to even talk about this like this. But I find it interesting that the left only seems to care about minorities, whether it's Asians, blacks, Latinos, the disabled, gays, women. They only seem to care when they're pushing a certain agenda. There's no consistency, as I said earlier in the program. If they cared about systemic racism, they would talk about how Asians are denied in the college entrance with the ACTs and SATs. They would talk about how affirmative action discriminates against Asians if they really cared about systemic racism. But we don't see any consistency there. With that in mind, I want to play a segment of audio to remind you about something that Malcolm X said about the white liberal.
I think there are many whites who act friendly toward Negroes. A fox acts friendly toward the lamb. And usually the fox is the one who ends up with the lamb chop on his plate. The wolf doesn't act friendly, and therefore the wolf has more difficulty in getting the lamb chop in his plate.
I'd like to point out, though, that
I say that because it is usually if you study the structure of the Negro community, economically, politically, civically, psychologically, and otherwise, it's controlled by the white liberal, who usually poses as the friend of the Negro, who actually differs from the white conservative in the same way that the fox differs from the wolf. Their appetite is the same. Their motives are the same. It's only their mannerisms and methods that differ.
I would agree that no doubt there have been a large number of whites who are posed as liberals and as friends of the Negro and who have time and again betrayed the Negro. On the other hand, I think one could point to a large number of whites who have struggled for civil rights, for equality, and have got little or nothing out of it, other than quite a few bruises.
Give me an example.
Well, the large number of white students who have gone into the South, for example, working for SNCC and other organizations.
Not working for SNCC or other organizations, but working for the white political machines who benefit by the voting efforts of Negroes.
Okay. I'll be more specific. I would cite Herbert Hill, for example, as a kind of person who has championed Negro job rights, for example, in New York City and elsewhere. He has fought the political machine.
First time I met Herbert Hill personally was when they were picketing to stop the working on the Harlem Hospital in Harlem. Negroes for 10 years had to fight the city to get an annex built on the Harlem Hospital. Because in Harlem, we need a hospital more so than anything else. Our people are sick. Plus, we do a lot of cutting and shooting of each other, though we profess to be nonviolent. And Herbert Hill brought his forces out and stopped the working on that site. This is the first time I ever saw him. Then, when work was brought to a halt on a hospital in Harlem, the same Negroes tried to stop the work at the Downstate Medical Center in Brooklyn, which is predominantly white. They were out there for 3 months during the summer, couldn't stop anything. And I never saw Herbert Hill out there one time. Now, whenever it takes a stoppage of something that's going to affect the white man, you find the white liberal absent. But when it involves something that primarily will affect the best interests of black people, and black people only, then that white liberal is present. Herbert Hill is the labor secretary for the NAACP. And if he was interested in black people, he would prepare a black man with the type of knowledge and understanding of the labor troubles involving black people that would enable a black man to sit in the same position as secretary of labor or labor secretary in the NAACP. I'm suspicious of whites who join Negroes and always have to be in the lead, who always have to be the head, who always have to be at the top in Negro organizations. Those whites who really have the interest of blacks at heart, let them give some advice to some Negroes and stand on the sideline. But don't join the organization and then get at the head of it and pose as a friend of Negroes.
Well, I would defend his sincerity and his commitment. And more than that, I would say that just because a person is a Negro or a black American does not mean he's going to struggle for Negro rights or for jobs for Negroes or anything else. I think that
today you could point to a large number of Negro leaders who have consistently betrayed Negroes in a whole host of areas.
They aren't really Negro leaders. These are puppets that have been put in front of the Negro community by white liberals. These are parrots that have been put in front of the Negro community by white liberals. You can't name me a Negro leader who has been a Negro leader who has been betrayed Negroes, who has not been endorsed, sanctioned, subsidized, and supported by the white liberals.
Minister Malcolm, I'd like to, well, I can cite one example, would be Congressman Dawson, for example, in Chicago. In Chicago, a large number of liberals located in the Hyde Park District have consistently fought Dawson and his betrayals of the Negro, and they've also fought some of the people who represent Dawson on the Chicago City Council.
The only Negro I know who is constantly fought, only Negro politician that I know who is constantly fought by white liberals is Adam Clayton Powell. And they call him a racist because he speaks so bluntly on the race issue. But I'm not, as I said, not too familiar with Dawson.
There's an interesting article right now at the Libertarian Republic entitled, "Dear White Liberal, Asians Aren't Your Pawns," which discusses the fact that the left is doing the same thing to Asians right now in the media that they have done to blacks for decades and that they're doing to Latinos, using them as pawns to further an agenda. And I will post the link to that article if you'd like to read that in the description. It's a very interesting, thought-provoking article by Mr. K. Lee. Again, that's at thelibertarianrepublic.com, and I will post that in the description. But the one thing that I have found very interesting, and perhaps a silver lining to this cloud, is that it has aroused in Asian people an interest in the Second Amendment and gun rights, more so than ever. Forbes wrote an article in which they said that the gun sales among Asian Americans was now on the rise after this attack on these American citizens. My hope is that people realize that this is what the Second Amendment is for. It is about self-preservation. This is why the founders put the Second Amendment in the Constitution, so that it would protect an individual's right to bear arms, so that if someone horrible like this individual comes into your place of business or your home, you have a right to be able to use force to defend yourself. So it is my hope that if one good thing has come out of this, that we realize that these are individual rights. These are not a white man's rights, a black man's rights, a Latino's rights, a gay person's rights, or an Asian's rights. They're not tied to a person's ethnicity, as stupid as somebody would think that that is. These are individual rights, and they are given to us by our Creator. And my hope is that the Asian community would embrace the art of self-defense. It's not that I wish that anybody would get hurt, but I am a staunch advocate for gun rights because I believe in the preservation of life. I don't want to see people get hurt like this. I want to see an end to as many tragedies as possible. And the only way that you will see a surefire deterrent to that is an armed and trained populace. And I hate that it happened. It breaks my heart. I pray for the victims of the families. I pray for this sick, depraved individual, that he would know Jesus Christ and that he would be forgiven, and that these victims, that their families would find peace. And I pray that their souls would find peace. And I pray that things like this would come to an end. But we have to be vigilant. And that means arming ourselves, doing what we have to do to make sure that things like this never happen again, which would be a expansion on individual rights and not restrictions. Restrictions on individual rights will not solve problems. They will only create more. And I pray that we would stop believing the mainstream media's lies and their narrative that they're obviously pushing with this. I'm not saying that hate crimes don't happen. Of course they do. But everything is not a hate crime. And that's really all I've got to say about that. I mean, other than the fact, I would like to remind you before I go, who was it that put Asian Americans in prison camps during World War II? Look up Executive Order 9066. FDR, a progressive hero, so to speak, was the one who put Asian Americans in prison camps because they were Asian, because they were Japanese. He used their ethnicity to suspend their rights because under the pretense that they might be consorting with the Japanese Empire. That's evil. So I encourage every Asian American that's listening to this podcast, be vigilant. Arm yourselves. Every American, arm yourselves. Arm your mind, your body, and your spirit. And don't believe this bullcrap that the mainstream media is putting out there. Together we will get through this, and I pray for justice and I pray for peace. Until next time, I've been your host, Caleb Shoemate, and this has been another episode of Revolution's Revival.